sitting at the rail, just, you know, have a perfect eye shot for the to the winner's circle, thinking, what the hell was I thinking? Like, what happened? I didn't pick Bob Baffert and Cupid to win this race.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner, there's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is another edition of Blinkers Off. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on? It's a very important edition of Blinkers Off. It's that time of year, the one time of year I watch racing at 6 in the morning, Dubai World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you fix a pot of coffee, you sit on the couch, and you basically plant yourself there for a good 12 hours of the day if you're not at one of the venues, because yeah, this is a day we look forward to literally all day. Massive racing. I think there's like $30 million on the line in Dubai or something crazy.
Yeah, it's insane, and it is kind of funny how you say that. I always have said a track in the United States should try on big days to maybe try to run one at 9 or 10 in the morning, maybe not 6 in the morning. But you know, a lot of times we're up and we're either studying or, you know, on our way to the track, or we've shown up to the track early to get a parking spot, and it's like, man, I'm ready to play at 9:30, you know? But yeah. Anyway, we get that this weekend, and we get it with some great horses and some great races. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always, like you said, you get the coffee and plant yourself on the couch, and you don't move until it's time to go to bed, basically.
And it's what's so great about it this year is we have – it's a trend that we're seeing that's maybe not so good for American racing when you talk about the big, you know, older horse handicap races here in the United States this time of year that we're seeing kind of, you know, maybe not as talented because they're tending to go to Dubai. But on the plus side, we get to enjoy it now because we have a loaded field of American horses over in Dubai this year. So especially in the Dubai World Cup. So we got to enjoy it because this is where they're all running.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Races like the Santa Anita Handicap and the Oakland Handicap that's coming up, they're going to, you know, not be quite as strong because we've got 5 really good horses over there. And, take a horse like California Chrome, just for example, he definitely would have ran in the Santa Anita Handicap, and we didn't get to see that. So, but now he's in the Dubai World Cup, and you know, the deal is when they're giving away $10 million purse, you've got to take a shot. Even a horse like Opportunity, who we've kind of said, well, he doesn't have a shot. Do you realize 4th place pays $500,000 in this race? So, you know, that's almost more than he would have won if he would have won the big cap, which it would have been questionable if he would have actually done that. So,
right,
you can't blame him for taking a shot.
Yeah, it's just cool for the connections, you know, that Dubai does so well over there. You know, it's such a neat experience for them to take him over there. But we'll get into the Dubai here real quickly. Let's first touch on last week real quick. Obviously, Oakland is, you know, this played host to the Rebel this past weekend. We were there, and Cupid Bob Baffert comes in and just does his thing like he does almost every year for the Rebel and wins. And here we are looking like idiots. So, I mean, Cupid, is he now the real deal?
Cupid has something in reserve, and Cupid wins the Rebel.
Well, I think you got to take that race seriously. You know, he didn't break very well. He did find his way on the front. He was athletic enough to do that, even though it looked like from the break he was really in trouble. But he shot up to the front, wire to wire, held off a late charge by Whitmore, who ran fantastic once again. Yeah, I mean, I think, believe it or not, he probably is legit. I thought it was very interesting. I was thinking about this morning. Who's better now for Bob Baffert? Is it More Spirit or is it Cupid?
Yeah.
Could More Spirit have come and won the Rebel? Maybe, maybe not. So it was amazing. You know, Cupid did not look professional in his maiden win. He was all over the track. He was floating out. He beat horses that were very average. Comes to the Rebel, 14 horses, no problem. Gets it done wire to wire for Bob Baffert, his sixth in 7 years. It's really unbelievable.
It's funny how Baffert and guys like Baffert and Pletcher, who just a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we were like, you know what? You know, Baffert's got one horse. Pletcher has one okay horse. You know, it's like, what do they have? And all of a sudden, boom, Baffert's got two really good ones. Pletcher's got a couple good, really good ones now, and he's got Battery running this weekend, which could be pretty good. We don't know yet. So all of a sudden, you know, it's like, don't ever doubt them. Here they come. So Cupid did his thing, and now all of a sudden, Baffert's got two legit shots, I think.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. He definitely does. And Pletcher, I think, does too. Zulu, I think, will run decent in the Florida Derby, and you know, Destin's in, and I think Outwork's got a decent shot at doing some things. So you're right, you can't ever count them out. Like 10 days before the Rebel, we were saying, boy, Bob Baffert's not even going to have anything in the Rebel. Yeah. I can't believe this. And then he sends a maiden over who was seemingly, I wouldn't call him an afterthought, but, you know, if he would have ran in the San Felipe at Santa Anita, he probably would have been double-digit odds, you know, and he comes to Oakland, he wins the thing. It's just crazy.
I tell you what, very few times am I ever just, you know, extremely just baffled, disappointed after a race, because, you know, it's racing and we understand that, and even if I'm wrong, you know, you understand that. But after the Rebel, you know, everyone else, you know, you guys were all doing your thing, and I just went to the rail, and I just looked out. It felt funny how a year difference is make. You know, last year Rebel, we're jumping, we're celebrating the Zayats, we're in the winner's circle of Mary Farrell, and this year I'm just sitting at the rail, just, you know, I have a perfect eye shot for to the winner's circle, thinking, what the hell was I thinking? Like, what happened? I didn't pick Bob Baffert and Cupid to win this race. I don't know. I mean, here's the problem. Whenever he scratched out of San Felipe, I text you. I said, he's winning the Rebel. He's going to the Rebel. He's going to win the Rebel. No problem. And then it's like, the problem is I actually researched it more and looked and studied the horse and found replays. And it's like, you know what? This horse is just too green for this size of field. I think the field's pretty good. So I just don't see it. And what's he do? He wires it and puts up incredibly fast fractions. And looks like he's a pro, re-rallies in the stretch. Okay, I mean, whatever. He's coming to the Arkansas Derby, I'm sure. He'll probably beat me again.
You know, we both did the same thing. Because, you know, I said, oh, yeah, he's going to do it. I'd watch his maiden race, but I hadn't really broke it down. And I re-watched it, and I'm like, no, he can't do it. Just sometimes you can overanalyze things, you know. And it's amazing. All of our friends, well, I can't say all of them, right, because I don't know for a fact that all of them, but a lot of our friends at the track came up to us and said, well, we don't have him. We didn't include him. And what did we say? Well, I don't really blame you.
Yep.
But looking back, that was just ridiculous. If you've got him in a pick, you know, if you're planning to pick four, you had to throw him in there just for that chance. Look, he ran really well, and, you know, your horse, Cherry Wine, I don't think ran terrible. He was kind of in a cluster of three closers there that, you know, didn't get the fastest pace to run into. And my horse, Whitmore, I mean, I think if you talk to anybody at the top of the stretch, they thought, yeah, he's got it. He's going to be an easy winner. And he got beat by Baffert. What can you do?
Yeah. Yeah. And then your horse, as far as the draft goes, you know, sudden breaking news. I mean, maybe ran the best out of the entire field down the stretch, but unfortunately didn't run at all until the stretch, and by then it was way too late. So that one's a frustrating one, because he might be one of the most talented horses, certainly in that race, and we didn't really get to see it. So frustrating.
Yeah, par for the course for my fantasy team.
Yeah, we'll
terrible.
We'll touch on them in a second, so don't you worry. You save some of that.
I'll save that rant for that.
All right.
I won't touch on it now.
All right, you know, let's bring it down a little bit here. In light of the terrible news today about, you know, Jeff Lucas passing away, we're not going to do what's the best thing you saw today. It just doesn't seem right. Jeff, of course, son of Dwayne Lucas and father and dad to our good friend Brady Lucas. So, you know, really unfortunate. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Lucases. We love you guys, and really sad news today.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, Jeff's story is kind of sad. You know, to sum it up, you know, if you don't know about it, it basically a horse pretty much ran over him at a young age. He was the top assistant for his dad, Dwayne Lucas, and you know, was lucky to survive. You know, the doctors, if you read the article at Sports Illustrated, they wrote a great article outlined the whole thing, and the doctor said, you know, this is actually an amazing success story that Jeff was able to live through this. So he did, and you know, he had several years there where he was living and you know, seemed to be in a happy place when they wrote the article. So yeah, it's just really sad, the whole thing. And like I said, our hearts go out to all the Lucas family, every one of them. It's just it's a rough thing to deal with.
All right, on today's show, we preview the $10 million Dubai World Cup and the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Update the Dude's Triple Crown Fantasy Draft. Halterman, you're looking forward to that. Give rapid fire selections for stakes races around the world and throw down the rant of the week. Let's go. Dubai World Cup, we mentioned it in the opener. This event is massive. It's the richest race in the world. The Dubai World Cup's worth $10 million. Race 9 on the program, so make sure you set your alarm clock. Watch the entire day. This race will run about noon, you know, Central Time. So, you know, you can definitely have time to watch this. And then you get to watch the rest of the races, you know, running at fairgrounds and everywhere else the rest of the day. Running a mile and a quarter. It's a classic distance. Field of 12. We got a ton of local talent, and I say localized in American horses, Keen Ice, Misha Wish, Mutahij, which isn't local, but you know, we did see a lot of him last year in the Triple Crown races. Frosted, Opportunity, California Chrome, all running in this race. California Chrome 3-2, Frosted 2-1. Those are clear standouts as far as your top two choices. Where are you going?
Well, I think anybody that you know, has followed us throughout last year and into this year know how big of fans we are of Frosted. So I'll just get right to it. That's my top pick. I think Frosted pulls the mild upset over California Chrome. Now, you know, you've got to talk about California Chrome. And I know Frosted's 2-1 and California Chrome is 3-2, but those are my two top picks. I'm not going to get fancy with anything here. Look, California Chrome has a ton on the line. You know, this is a chance to become the richest racehorse in North American racing history. That in itself right there is enough to you know, get your ass up and watch this race. So he's going to pass, if he does win the race, my all-time favorite horse in Curlin. Well, second all-time favorite after American Pharoah now. But anyway, California Chrome, I love how both California Chrome and Frosted, they brought him over. They gave him a prep race over the track. I think that's the way to do it. So they just stand out to me. I think the 11-hole and the 9-hole, actually very good post for both these horses. I think there'll be some speed out in front of them. I think they can just kind of sit, you know, in that stalking position that they both like to do. So I'm really excited to see him. As far as you go, other American threats, Misha Wish, whatever we're calling him now, you know, he's turned into a nice little horse. Can he do it outside of Gulfstream on the dirt? We'll see. He's going to have to prove it to me. I would probably, you know, leave him off an exacta ticket. Keen Ice, our other boy there, I guess. Who knows what we're going to see out of him. He was awful in his prep. And then Opportunity, who didn't run a prep, but is coming out of a win, which is something different for Opportunity. You know, that's one I think could clunk up, maybe hit the board, maybe get fourth.
He kind of has that style, you know, where he could just kind of run up there and, you know, wouldn't surprise me to hit the board. You know, won't look super impressive, probably be several links back, but he kind of just keeps going, you know, Opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think him and Keen Eyes, kind of the same, really no threat to win this thing, but might clunk up. If Keen Eyes can improve and run, a Travers race, a Breeders' Cup Classic type of race, he's got a shot. But who the hell knows? He has looked beyond bad the last couple of efforts. You know, on the Don, they were like, oh, well, this and that. No, he was terrible.
And then he looked bad in the prep race in Dubai. Just looked really bad. Just
really bad.
All you know, it, first of all, dude, Mission Wish, the name with a thousand different names, however you want to call it. He may not win here, but how great would it be to have this horse who has done so much for you? You're a grade one winner on the turf. You're a grade one winner on the dirt. Now you're running the Dubai World Cup. I mean, it just this horse is so versatile. He has to improve, but he certainly could. At 6 years old, this horse has done a lot for Todd Pletcher and the connections there. Diatori to ride, that certainly isn't too bad. But I'm with you. It definitely comes between Frosted and California Chrome. And I think the odds show that, you know, you have 2-1, 3-2, very little separation there. The rest of the field is, 8-1 or higher. That's, Mission Wish is 8-1. To me, you could almost flip a coin with the two. I love the fact they both came over and prepped, but I particularly love California Chrome's prep race. And it was at the distance. You don't typically see that a lot. Whether you run the exact, especially when it's a mile and quarter race, you know, he came over prepped on them at the mile and quarter race. In fact, the same exact same prep race that your boy Curlin used before his victory in 2008 in the Dubai World Cup. So, you know, obviously this path has led to success before. Third off a layoff for California Chrome. I think all systems are a go. This is just me. I mean, I know it's not just me because everyone's talking about it. Just how amazing Chrome looks right now, and how just he looks like double the size of the horse he used to be. It's unbelievable.
He very well could come out and be a monster. There's no doubt about it. And you're right, he looks great. And I hope he does win. And I'm not rooting against him at all. I think Frosted looks great too. I mean, we haven't seen any recent pictures of him, but he looked good when he ran over there last time. So, but yeah, you're right. Chrome looks great. You know, you talk about Mishawish. This horse ran at Dubai last year on a freaking turf race, and now he's back for the World Cup. You're right. It's really amazing. You know, it's hard to comment on any of the foreign horses other than Moop Tahij, who I think might be one of the most overrated horses in the history of the game. So
yeah,
I'll leave that little tidbit there that'll obviously get him in the winner's circle on Saturday. But the rest of them, hey, you know, we'll see what happens with them.
Funny story about Frosted for all you that might be interested. I know I've told you, Halterman, but you know, Melanie Martins, our photographer over there, shooting photos, and I was asking, you know, she asked for some what ones I would like, and I told her Frosted, and she actually said that Frosted, you can't take no photos of Frosted because he is he's stabled in the Sheik's private stable. That the Sheik liked his performance so much, his last, you know, his prep out there, that he decided he would stable him over there. He works out privately over there. You know, it's all separate from where the rest of these horses are working out. So that's a pretty good sign, you know, the Sheik.
I mean, when the Sheik owns you, you've got privileges, I guess, you know. If the Sheik wanted to own me, he could anytime. Judging by how he treats his horses, you know. So, yeah,
not bad.
Yeah, unreal. Really.
Yeah. So I ended on this. I do think the way these horses are positioned and how they run, we are going to be able to see Frost and Calf for Chrome relatively side by side when the real running starts, and we'll get to see what happens. I mean, that to me is going to be the most exciting part of the race when it comes. They're in the final turn. They should be pretty close together. We'll see who goes and who doesn't.
His personality is so magnetic. When he steps on the racetrack, women throw underwear at him like a rock star. Katy Perry once claimed that her hit song Dark Horse was actually inspired by him. He once impregnated a mare just by staring at her. He is the horse of the people. He is California Chrome.
Hello, my name is California Chrome. I may not always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to RacingDudes.com. Pick responsibly, my friends.
All the way from Dubai, let's travel to Louisiana, New Orleans, and we'll do the Louisiana Derby. This is a grade two worth $1 million for three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth. And of course, this is the first. Technically, we'll have the first 100-point Derby race in Dubai earlier in the morning. We'll talk about that later. But this is the first United States ran and one that actually probably matters. 100-point race in the Derby Preps, the Louisiana Derby. Yes, large field. Large field 12 shows up, led by your 5-2 morning line favorite, Mo Tom, 7-2 on Greenpoint Crusader. And number one, Gunrunner, 3-1. It's interesting to me that Gunrunner beats Mo Tom last out, and Mo Tom is still your morning line favorite here. What do you think?
Yep, that is a good point right there, right off the bat. When I saw the morning lines and thought, okay, well, that's a little ridiculous, but I digress. Mo Tom, he's the favorite. He did run into all kinds of trouble last time out against Gunrunner, but here's the deal. We wrote an article about this. We've talked about this at length. Uncle Mo horses going a mile and an eighth.
Yeah, this is kind of the stopping point, isn't it?
This is it. I mean, this is the first time any Uncle Mo horse that's seriously on the Kentucky Derby trail is going to go a mile and an eighth. I am pumped for that reason. If Mo Tom wins, hey, it's looking better for Uncle Mo backers. Mo Tom is not going to be my pick for that reason. If I've wrote articles and sat there and told people forever, I don't think Uncle Mo horses can go long as in a mile and an eighth. How can I pick him? And especially at 5-2, which no. I don't know. He might be 3-1. He might be 7-2, but he'll be a short price.
And the thing with Mo Tom that I specifically not Uncle Mo that I've talked about a lot, and it's that I'm kind of tired. Yes, he did win the Comp Day, but we heard it in the Jockey Club, and we heard it in the Risen Star. It's like, oh yeah, you know, he ran good. He had traffic trouble. You know, oh no, but he ran. He did this, but then he had issues. You know, there comes a point where you just gotta win. You know, you gotta be good enough to win. And I agree, he looked great in the Risen Star, and really up. He looked great before he kind of got stopped and after he got stopped. But it certainly, even if he wins here, can you really feel confident with the horse that continues to have traffic issues when they move to a field of 20? I certainly wouldn't. But anyways, that's where I'm at with Mo Tom. I can't pick him here either. I'm definitely not going to pick him when he runs in the first Saturday in May, assuming he goes. But, okay, keep going. Who else?
Well, so if you throw out all the Uncle Mo's, you know, that's three right there that are out. Which, by the way, Uncle Mo, I hope he does do well. I've been a big fan of his. I was a big fan of his when he's on the track. But we'll see. Let's see if they prove it to us.
All right.
There's two horses I like at double-digit odds. One is Conquest Windy City, and one is Dazzling Jim. Mm-hmm. Both of these horses coming off races that I like.
From Oklahoma?
Especially Dazzling Jim. I really, really liked his last race at Oakland Park. Brad Cox, 4-for-4 in graded stakes races this year. Somebody told us that this weekend. And by the way, 4-for-4 is 100%, which in my book is pretty good. So Dazzling Jim, not only that, though, he fits. He fits with these. He can run with these. Big class test, but I like him a lot. So those two I like. And then Gunrunner and Greenpoint Crusader are the two horses that I like that are going to be the shorter prices. You know, Gunrunner has every right to improve, actually, in this Certainly. Race. And he won the Risen Star. And that was his first race in a while. So he should run better. And then Greenpoint Crusader. Now, that's a critical horse. And here's why. You know, he ran second to Mohamed in the Holy Bull. And we haven't seen him since. But, you know, I think we both kind of said not a great second, but not terrible either.
No.
How's he going to run here? Is he going to flatter Mohamed? I mean, or is he going to maybe regress? It's a huge race for him because he's pretty much off the trail. If he doesn't do well here, he's not going to run in the Kentucky Derby probably.
Well, he does. So, he does. You know, Greenpoint Crusader sits at 19 points, so he's certainly on that. He's in as we talk right now, but of course we know that will change. Which, you know, the plan all along has been to run him into Kentucky Derby prep races this year. He has one under his belt, this being the second. So it's kind of interesting that they're kind of putting all the – I mean, he ran a good second in the Holy Bull to Mohamed, but then it comes down to this. I mean, he's got to finish, 100 points to the winner, 42nd, 23rd, 10 for fourth. So assuming he gets even fourth, you would like his chance, 29 points. You'd feel good about it.
You definitely would. Fourth would get you in, and they would probably try to run him and say, well, the distance is going to be great for him, which it might. But I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with him, so I did not pick him to win. I would include him in all your tickets. Then you've got kind of the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room, which is the three battery. Am I correct about this? Todd Pletcher, Javier Castellano, you know, hey, I wouldn't throw them out. So battery is one you better play as well. You know, in the end, I have debated this for a while. Do I try Dazzling Jim at 12-1, or do I pick Gunrunner at 3-1? I'm going with Dazzling Jim. I really liked him from the start. When he broke his maiden at Oaklawn Park, he beat a horse named American Pioneer. American Pioneer absolutely cruised to victory last weekend, his first race back from that maiden race, broke his maiden. They immediately nominated him with the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
So Dazzling Jim beat a very nice horse. The next time out at Oaklawn Park, in an allowance, he caught a loose on the lead Gray Sky. Now, you laugh and you say, well, Gray Sky's not that good. He didn't run terrible in the Rebel Stakes. He got sixth. It wasn't awful. But that day when Dazzling Jim beat him in the allowance, he was loose on the lead. He set very slow fractions. He was well clear of everybody else to finish second.
Yeah, I watched that replay again just today, handicapping. You look at that, when he turned for home, he widens Gray Sky, that is. And 9 times out of 10, you ever watch a race with a horse that does that, it's over. You know, that is certainly that horse. And down the stretch, Dazzling Jim, on the wrong lead, mind you, ran him down, was green as could be. But yeah, it looked great.
And that's why I'm going with him. And you say, yeah, he's on the wrong lead. Well, you know, last week, a horse that was all over the track won the Rebel. So yeah. I'm going to just say maybe they're going to get things worked out. Listen, he still could be a very developing horse. It's kind of a risk. I would not play him by himself. Use Gunrunner, use Greenpoint Crusader, definitely. But I'm thinking Dazzling Jim may fit the profile as a rising, you know, star. He's beaten good horses. He's probably beaten just as good horses as some of these, you know, like Gunrunner that's been running in stakes. You know, they aren't that far behind. I'm going to take a shot with the price. Dazzling Jim, for me, I do not think he'll be 12-1.
No, he won't. 12-1 is ridiculous. Yeah, he'll be half that. I think I love Dazzling Jim. I couldn't go with him. I think, you know, because Brad Cox has said that, you know, he could very well run him in the Arkansas Derby as well. So, to me, that's the race that, you know, I definitely think he runs well. Again, like you just said, the greenness, we saw it with Cupid, but I think it is a little too green for me to take him to win all of a sudden in his first stakes try. But I definitely think he runs well. I wouldn't be surprised at all for him to hit the board, and then I think he turns that into a performance in the Arkansas Derby that leads him to the Kentucky Derby, because I think he's super talented. Battery is one you mentioned. This is a horse that I mentioned last week on the podcast, talking about Cherry Wine, who I picked to win the Rebel. Cherry Wine, of course, beat Battery very easily, and then Battery came back to win that nice allowance at this distance, which, by the way, is like the only horse to run at a mile and an eighth out of any of these horses, and most any of the Derby horses. I mean, as far as I know, this might be the only horse that's running a mile and eighth race, really. So, you know, here we go again with Todd Pletcher and Castellano. It's like, how do you leave these guys out at 10-1? I wanted to pick them. I read a stat, DRF formulator. Pletcher-Castellano combo in dirt graded stakes races the last 5 years when they're 10-1 or above in 30 tries is 0-3-5.
Wow.
So that's a huge stat for me. So I was like, okay, I cannot pick this horse to win. That stat's too telling. 30 tries, you could argue he's due, but I skipped. Gunrunner, if you really scratch out the Kentucky the Jockey Club, it was on slop. Clearly, Aero Force won that race, looked good. He didn't come back to do anything. So, you know, if you scratch that race out, you'd say, well, Gunrunner, I mean, this horse is getting better and better and better every single time. In fact, had not lost. That's the only race he's lost. This horse certainly has every right to improve. I wanted to pick him three. I just couldn't do it. I'm shocked that I did, but I couldn't stop myself from landing on the two horse Greenpoint Crusader. That's where I went. And anybody knows, and you know, this isn't a horse that I particularly have liked a ton, really. You know, going into this race, but. You know, he did run, I thought he ran pretty well in the Holy Bull against Mohamed. His first start since October in the Breeders' Cup. You know, he's got 19 points, so obviously, like I mentioned, it's not a huge rush to get him back, so that's why I think we've seen him be pretty careful. The key with him that I've really liked in watching his races, in the Juvenile, of course, the Champagne, where he won the Grade 1 Champagne, and then the Holy Bull, is that he's been able to finish strong. You know, he I think the long stretch at Fairgrounds is going to benefit this horse, because I think he just kind of keeps coming. It'll be interesting to see what Velasquez does with him in the two hole. You know, will he go? Last time he was in the lead briefly in the Holy Bull. Will he decide to do something like that? Will he sit off of it? That will be really the interesting part. It's tough for me to say that he'll win, considering that they don't initially need to win. But I think with the long stretch, kind of put me over the edge with Greenpoint Crusader. I think he has that style where he'll just grind and keep going. He's out of Bernardini. So yeah, 7-2. I'm hoping he stays right around there, because I don't think he's like kind of the now horse like these other ones are in here. So yeah, I landed on 2, Greenpoint Crusader.
Well, I'll make a prediction on Greenpoint Crusader for you. I think he will either A, win the race, or B, finish like 6th or below. I really think that's what it's going to go for him.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It just seems like when you look at his running patterns, that's kind of how it is. Like Holy Bull, he ran a winning race, but other races he's ran really terrible. And then, you know, the race he won at Belmont was a winning race. So I just feel like that's how it's going to go one way or the other. I'm not sure on him. I'm very skeptical. I'm with you, though. The long stretch could be good for him. Man, we'll see. I don't know. He's kind of the wild card to me.
Dude's Triple Crown Fantasy Draft. Time for the update. We're into the 100-point races, so we only got a few left before the big ones start, the Triple Crown races. So let's – I know you're looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to it all day. Let's get an update. Where do we stand? Again, I'll read the teams. The original draft was More Spirit for me, Moe Man, Z Royal, Zulu, Aeroforce. You had Brody's Cause, Nyquist, Conquest Biggie, Synchrony, and Songbird at the waiver at the draft period. We drafted a couple weeks ago. I dropped Aeroforce and picked up Shagaff. You dropped Synchrony and picked up Sudden Breaking News. So you just swapped out the Donnie horses. I've set it up. Let us know where we're at.
I'll keep it short and sweet because I don't want to talk about this. It's you have 84 points and I have minus 10.
Okay. All right. So I got a 94 point lead here going into the big ones. All right, I like it.
Yeah, we both got 1 point last week because Sudden Breaking News decided that he would just give him the dumbest ride in the history of racing, and so I got a point. And then Z Royal for you, the one spot for you that's just bad. He's bad. But lucky for you, you've got 4 other good ones. Unlucky for me, I've got 1 really good one that'll never run against the boys and 3 shitty ones. So it's not good for me.
You do have Nyquist, which we'll see next week, running against 2 of mine. So Moe Man, we'll have a lot in that race for sure. Moe Man, Zulu, Nyquist, so a lot of points that could change. Hopefully, what happens, Nyquist runs off the board and Zulu and Moe Man have a dead heat. So that would be fantastic.
You know, it really is going to come down to a Nyquist. You know, he's got to, which by the way, Nyquist could probably would have won like 3 preps by now if they would have tried him in any of them, but they didn't. And now we're trying him in the hardest prep that's probably going to be ran, which that's great for my fantasy team. Like, he could run really well in your third, Austin, which is probably what will happen. You know, look, he's got to beat Moe Man. He's got to beat Zulu, or I am just really in trouble.
Yeah, for sure. But of course, here we go. You know, you have an Uncle Mo horse at Nyquist, and that's your best shot there. Not counting Songbird, and you're really going to depend on winning one of the 3 classic races. And we've talked, Uncle Mo winning the classic races just isn't something that seems real possible right now anyways. Nope. So I like where I stand. Besides having Z Royal, which if I could just drop him now, I would. He'll probably win the Belmont or something now. But I feel good where I'm at. We'll give an update one last time before we head into the Kentucky Derby. But right now, I'm smoking you. Time for Rapid Fire Selections, brought to you by...
Looking for some action? Well, if it's sports and casino action you're after, USRacing.com has got you covered. usracing.com, you can get the latest betting lines on pro and college football, basketball, and all the MLB and NHL action, too. Heck, you can even get the latest odds in the presidential race, the Academy Awards, or who's going to be the next James Bond. Clue, it's probably not going to be P. Diddy, but he's on the list of betting options. And if you're a racing fan like me, you'll love the daily menu and special prop bets. Thoroughbred racing, check. International racing, check. Greyhound racing, check. Harness racing, check. Generous rebates, checkmate. USRacing.com also has a wide variety of casino games as well. So if you're looking for some sports and casino action, look no further than USRacing.com, the place that's setting the pace.
Back in Dubai for the UAE Derby. This, of course, is somehow worth 100 points to the winner, 44 second, 2010. This is an actual Kentucky Derby prep race, so we're talking about it. Field of seven in here, led by your 3-5 morning line favorite, the filly. There's two fillies in this race, Polar River. Where are you going?
Well, yeah, and it comes down to the two fillies, in my opinion. I think they're the two best. I've got a theory on Dubai World Cup night. Do you want to know it?
I do, yes.
Never, ever doubt de Kock. That's my theory for Dubai World Night.
That's like a motto for you in life.
Veil Dory.
That's like a motto for you in life, isn't it?
Veil Dory. She's gonna do it.
Okay, I like that, but only I'm going the other filly because my filly, Polar River, beat your filly the last time they ran. So to me, I'm going not de Kock, and I'm going Polar River. Race six, the $2 million Golden Shaheen, sponsored by Gulf News. You know Gulf News. This is a field of 10 here, and we've got locals. We got XY Jet, your 9-5 morning line favor, the big-time sprinter for Navarro. Can he do it in Dubai?
Well, I sure hope, because I don't know about you, but I love XY Jet. Like, I have grown to just really, really like this horse a lot. You know what? I think his strategy is going to work well in Dubai, especially if, Dubai's been kind of a speed-favoring track for the preps. If it is again on this night, look out. So XY Jet for me, I think he's going to go as fast as he can, as far as he can. I think he's going to be good enough to get it done.
Yeah, the big question here for me watching this race will be, is he the speed of speed? Because we know how fast he is. We set incredible fractions every time he races, and you think, no way, and he does it. There is a lot of speed in this race, which kind of concerns me. If he is a speed of speed, then he'll win. If for some reason he runs and we have several other speed horses, it could create a little bit of a disaster up front. So I'm going to take the chance. I like McLaughlin's other horse he's got running in the Dubai, and that is number 8, Confrontation. This horse seems to be running really well over there, and I think can do it both on the lead and off the lead, and I think he come off the lead and win it from the 8 hole, so I'm going Confrontation. Race 7, the Dubai Turf, is worth $6 million. A mile and an eighth. Field of 15, so relatively easy on the turf to handicap these sort of races. We're basically covering the bigger races of the day, or races that include American horses. So there are a lot more Dubai, we're going to have free picks available on our website for all of the Dubai races, along with our tip sheets that will cover in-depth analysis of those. But for the purposes of this show, we're covering just a select few. Race 7. Where are you going?
Well, you know, it's a $6 million race. You've got to have a pick. You know, you got to pick somebody. I went with number 2, Trister. Yeah, that's all I've got to say, really. I do have kind of a strong feeling on the next one, but this one, you know, I did a little research. Trister, you know, it looks like a pretty nice horse. 15 horses on the turf. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, Trister is 9-for-12 lifetime. I mean, as winner of the last three, including winning last time at in Made In at this distance. I just like too many things about this horse. Buick is riding. It's 2-to-1 in a 15-horse field. I'm sure there's a better angle you can take as far as fun and value. But yeah, I landed on the chalk as well, so I went Trister. Race 8, the Dubai Shima Classic. This is another $6 million race going a mile and a half. This is $6 million we're talking, okay? $6 million, and it's an undercard race. It's just an afterthought. It's just one of the other races running that day. $6 million, field of 9, led by Postponed, the 7 horse, at 9-to-5, 4-to-1 on Highland Reel, the 8 horse, and 3-to-1. Duramonte, the Japan horse, the 4 horse. Where are you going?
Well, I do kind of like one in here, like I previously mentioned. Number 8, Highland Reel. I think this is a pretty nice horse. And, international turf racing, or turf racing even here in the States, when Breeders' Cup time rolls around, Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, you got to love that combination. I think Highland Reel, again, I think he pulls off a little bit of an upset here over Postponed. You know, I know Postpone is a horse everybody's excited about, 9-5 on the morning line here in the States, but Highland Reel for me in a mild upset.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually went the exact same route. I think this horse, like you said, Aiden O'Brien, Ryan Moore, there's too many things to like, and here I am in a... Makes no sense. In the last race, I'm picking the favorite. In this race, I'm saying you can beat the favorite. But I do think this is a horse that can win Highland Reel. And I do think this is a horse we'll probably see at the Breeders' Cup. Aiden O'Brien likes to send these type of horses over. So I'm going Highland Reel. I'm with you. All right, we're going back to Fairgrounds for the New Orleans Handicap. It's race 7 on the undercard of the Louisiana Derby. It's a grade 2 worth $400K for 4-year-olds and up. Going 1-1/8. Field of 10 shows up for this one, including... your Louisiana Derby winner last year, International Star. You going with the, is he going to repeat, basically? Is he going to win the older division race?
I did actually go with International Star. I think he bounces back from that race last time out. I'm not excited about anybody in this race, though, to be honest. I think there's 15 races on the card. I mean, if you want to skip one, this would probably be the one I would
take
skip.
A nap.
If you want to skip 12, I really don't blame you either, but... International Star for me, and I did want to mention, man, how far has Ride on Curlin fallen? Here he is entered here. He's 20-1 in the New Orleans Handicap, which is not a great race this year.
Terrible.
And I don't even think people know this horse is still in training.
Unbelievable how well that horse, I mean, this horse ran at his prime, and now 20-1 in a garbage race. It truly is a garbage race to me. Unbelievable. It's sad, really. This race sucks. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I hate it. This would be one I'm definitely skipping. But for the purposes of this race, and depending on how I'm doing the day previously, I might lay a couple bucks here. I'm going with some connections. Because, and you're going to laugh, and this is basically in a field that I hate. I'm going with Larry Jones, who now gets Guru. Strong workout. I'm going number 5, Coup de Gras. I know. I get it. This is a horse we've liked in the past. Is usually a sprinter, at, you know, for whatever reason, Larry Jones has run this horse stretching out the last couple times. Not running great. Here we go again. It's like, hey, third off a layoff, 32% off a layoff, third off a layoff, strong workout. What the hell? I'm going Coup de Gras. Race 8, the Menez Memorial Handicap. It's a grade 2 worth $300K for 4-year-olds and up. Going about 1/1/8 on the turf. Field of 11. You know, led by your morning line favorite 5-2, Chocolate Ride, the 4-horse. This horse loves Fairgrounds. Brad Cox, J.Rue, are you going that direction?
Absolutely. This horse has just been a money tree for me at the Fairgrounds. Picked him both times, and both times he was decent enough price to make a little bit of money. I'll go right back with him one more time. Chocolate Ride for me.
Yeah, 6-for-7 at Fairgrounds, 4-for-6 at the distance, third off a layoff. And my boy Giroux's back on. I just picked him the last race. This horse actually has a pretty good chance, and he's with red hot Brad Cox. So I'm with you. Chocolate Ride for me. Race 9, the Fairgrounds Oak. It's grade 2 worth $400K for Phillies. 3-year-olds going to 1-1/16th, field of 8. This is Kentucky Oaks prep race, so 100 points to the winner. 40-20-10 on down. Field of 8, small field. Your morning line favorite. 5-2 stage play, the 4-horse. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say that. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty terrible morning line, considering stage play got totally wiped off the map last time out in the race. You know, they went really fast early on in that race, and for that reason, you know, maybe some of those front runners will run a little better this time. But I'm going to go Larry Jones. Larry Jones, he just doesn't disappoint many times when he's running these 3-year-old fillies, and Midnight on Coney is going to be my pick at 9-2. She actually did stay around and fight there in that last race, even though the pace was pretty hot. So Midnight on Coney for me.
I gotta give a little shout out here. I'm not picking this horse, but a shout out to number 8, Land Over Sea. This poor horse has been beaten by Songbird the last 5 times. The last 5 times this poor horse has had to face Songbird, 3 of which she got second, so those are wins. And she's had to face Songbird. So the poor horse looks to win here without Songbird in the race. Imagine if Songbird was in this race. I'm not picking her, though. I feel like sometimes those horses just going to get used to losing. And maybe it's going to be harder than we think that to win this race. So I'm going against her. Before I mention the horse I'm picking, does this remind you of anything? The Asmussen Filly. Maiden allowance stakes. Tara Promessa did just that. In fact, the race prior to her winning the Honey Bee was slower than this horse's allowance score coming into this one. That's number 5, Adore. Both of them coming from Oaklawn. Obviously, Terra Promessa ran Oaklawn in the Honey Bee. But the allowance races at this distance, mile 16th, Adore ran a little bit better of a race than Terra Promessa. And we saw what Terra Promessa did. Here we go again. Aspirin's got another filly. I really like this horse. 5-1 morning line. I'm taking it. Number 5, Adore. Finally, let's wrap it up at Santa Anita for the Santa Ana Stakes. It's a grade 2 or 200K for fillies and mares. 4-year-olds and up, going 1 1/8 miles on the turf. Field of 6. It seems like it's the same group of horses that we see a lot in these types of races at Santa Anita. Led by your morning line favorite at 2-1, Her Eminency. 5-2 on Nancy from Nairobi. 7-2 on Glory. And 2 to Posse, the 3-1 for Bill Mott. So it, besides the two of them, it's wide open.
I went with Mott chipping this horse all the way over. I think 2 to Posse for me. That was really the angle. I almost went with Glory, but usually when Mott, when he's shipping horses places, he ships to win. So I'm just going to take a small shot with 2 to Posse.
Yeah, I like that angle a lot. It seems like that, Mott ships to win for sure. I went with the Saddler horse, the 2, Nancy from Nairobi. This horse came from overseas. Saddler's finally gotten her calmed down since coming winner of her last 2, and she seems to be improving. I mean, I think the last 2 have been really impressive, and one of them was ran at this distance where she won. So I think Saddler's finally kind of gotten her in the level where he wanted her from the get-go. So I'm going number 2, Nancy from Nairobi. UAE Derby being worth 100 points and being a Kentucky Derby prep race. This is a race that's ran and made on this weekend in Dubai. Literally, maybe one horse has even said they're even going to come if they win or if they're eligible to run the Kentucky Derby. Yet it's worth the most points we offer in Dubai. Why are we doing this?
It is absolutely insane to me that this is worth 100 points. If you want to make it worth points, okay, I halfway understand it, but let's look at what this race has produced as far as solid Kentucky Derby starters. Are we looking? Okay, nothing. It's produced nothing. It produced overrated horses as far as the Kentucky Derby goes. That's exactly what it does.
In fact, the best horse, Mukhtar Hij last year, everyone's like, this is going to be the horse. If there's ever a horse, this is the horse that can do it. Even though American Pharoah was in there, it wasn't like he ever would have won anyways. He never ran that good. So he is very good as he looked over there, and it's like saying, telling somebody, hey, if you win, I'm gonna give you $100, and you're like, I don't want $100. I'm not gonna take it if I win. You say, no, I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm not gonna offer it to anybody else. It's yours, and you say, I don't want it. But yet, it's like, why don't we divide it up and give it to other races? Why not? And people might argue, well, you have to make another race. Make another race that would be with a 100-point race. Well, not really. What if we just lowered the amount that this race was worth, make it a 50-point race even, or a 10-point race, and then divide it up between other races, maybe make the Rebel 100-point, or maybe add some smaller-level races that are only worth 10 previously in the year. So you can separate it up and still give out the same amount of points. It just makes no sense that you would give out the most points that we can offer to a field that all of a sudden we're not coming anyways.
I have a great suggestion. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
You do.
I do.
What is the most important and richest 2-year-old race we run every year? The Breeders' Cup Juvenile, correct?
Of course. And it's worth what is it worth?
It's worth 20 points? 10 points for the winner. Let's flip-flop them. Let's make that worth 100. And in this stupid race, it's not stupid, but for the Kentucky Derby, it's stupid. The UAE Derby worth 10 points. I think that would be brilliant.
Well, regardless, even if it makes no sense why the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is our Kentucky Derby for 2-year-olds, essentially, is worth that low of points compared to and we'll have several horses that run in the Kentucky Derby typically from that race. Why is that race worth so few? And it makes no sense whatsoever. Why is a horse punished? Like, it's sudden breaking news. That's a horse that we just talked about earlier today on the podcast. A horse that maybe would have a chance to run, whether previous race is worth more, what have you, might get left out of the Kentucky Derby. And 3 horses that are running on Saturday in Dubai are eligible, but none of them are coming. Two of them are fillies. And, I mean, it's like, how does that make the system? I get that this is a evolving system. We've made steps in the right direction since of introducing the point system. I get that. But I think offering to buy, and I mean, obviously the international attraction is cool, but you can't argue and you can't deny that this is not a 100-point race. Never is, never will be, never should be.
Nope, you said it best. There's nothing I can add. You said it perfectly. Please, let's stop the madness. If you want to make it worth points, fine, but 100 is way too much.
That wraps it up. Check us out at racingdudes.com for our free picks. Make sure to check out our handicapping products page, in which we have combined forces with Guaranteed Tip Sheet to provide the best tip sheet on the market. 100% money-back guarantee, and now covering all tracks, including Dubai. Yeah, we teamed up for that as well, so make sure you check that out. They are available now. Check them out at our handicapping products page at racingdudes.com. On Tuesday, March 22nd, our premium tip sheets paid out almost 30K, and 83% of our best bets finished in the money. So definitely worth your time. And these best bets aren't like even money chalk. I mean, there's some value there. We're currently covering 18 tracks, all offering free picks. We're on Twitter at @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. The dudes will be on the couch bright and early Saturday morning, all day long, covering all the races. We'll be all over Twitter, so make sure you follow us and chime in. I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck this week.
For all of your needs, racingdudes.com. For all of your leads, racingdudes.com. For all of your bets, racingdudes.com. As good as it gets.